and you want to participate in man of God dealing with him, do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes, he's a prophet. You don't have the prophetic anointing, but the prophet must sleep somewhere when he travels. So you, as the Shunammite woman, you approach your husband and say, can we build, you know, an apartment for him? I perceive that it's a holy man of God that passes by us every day. And Jesus said, anything you give to a man of God, because he's a prophet, then you share in the prophet's reward. He didn't say anything you give to a prophet because you want to share the prophet's reward, thief. He said, anything you give to a prophet, why? Because he's a prophet. If you give it because you want his reward, you get nothing. But if you give it because he's a man of God, do you get my point? The second reason you give to a man of God is because, later on you see one of my books, I explained it there. Because when God blesses you, do you get my point? One of the things he expects you to use to say thank you. Now, you know, when God bless you, what do? You give thanks. You worship and you give thanks. But this is a spiritual principle. You must go back. You must return back to the place where he blessed you. That's another reason why you give to a man of God. Because he has blessed you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Because when Jesus healed 10 lepers, one came back to give God glory. And Jesus said, where are the other 9? He said, how come only this one turned back? The turning back is the second reason why you give to a man of God. Not because you want to tap into his anointing. I'm serious about this. Why am I telling you? So that you won't be disappointed. Let me not say too much about that. I don't want to digress. Talking about sorcery. Sometimes we pray to know God's will because we are not ready to just take steps without being sure of tomorrow. And being ability to go without knowing where is faith. That Abraham went without knowing where is faith. Come, move out, I will show you. By the time he moved out, he didn't know where he was going. That is faith. But when we start praying, say, want to know the will of God, you know what we are saying? God, I want a map with a satellite and a GPS navigation system. That's what we're asking for. We want to know by force. The brother that was talking with me that day, he said there was an issue. He prayed and prayed and prayed. Suddenly in his spirit, he knew that this was what will happen. And that day when he got there, that was what happened. I felt like telling him that, okay, how has this prepared you? How has this helped you? You're only telling me because you want me to know. You have become very keen in contacting the realm of the spirit. You have become a better sorcerer. I'm not interested. Faith is that I don't know where I'm going, but I know who I'm following. Remember the story I told you about two different ladies who wanted to get married? Being chased by different brothers. In both scenarios, there were two sets. What I mean by very well to do, then the second guy is still struggling. The first one who told me the story, the father said, why is it that is this struggling man you want to marry? The lady said, it is because this is one man who I can follow with my eyes closed. Do you get my point? That is, if he says, give me your hand, follow me, close your eyes. He said, I will do it with confidence. The other lady, when she was talking with me, I said, can you trust this guy to make decisions for you in life? The winner's pastor was preaching today when we were at Joyce's wedding. Very beautiful sermon. He said, when you say I do, you have committed somebody else. You have committed your life into the hands of another person. Make my decisions. So I told the lady many years ago, this was about 10, 11 years ago. I said, baby girl, can you trust this guy to make decisions for you? And she said, it's like this, Vanky. He said, if he says, now, these two people didn't discuss, using the same illustration. She said, if he said, follow me, close your eyes, I want to take you somewhere. He said, Banky, let me be honest with you, I'll keep one eye open. I said, okay, let me tell you the truth. You're my friend, right? I can talk to you honestly. She said, correct. Don't marry him. I know you are in love with him. I know if he passes, your stomach will start jumping, like as if you are pregnant Elizabeth with Mary visiting. I said, I know. I said, but please, hear me, don't marry him. Now, what I'm trying to explain. Faith is that I can follow God with my eyes closed. You know what it means with my eyes closed? Not knowing exactly what tomorrow will be like. I can have a vague picture. Do you follow me? I can have a vague picture. But I can never know exactly what tomorrow will be like. If I tell you this, it will surprise you. Even Jesus did not know. He was making discoveries at each point. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. In the garden was where he got the final revelation that helped him tackle the cross. Believe what I'm saying. I know Ken Hagin saw vision of who you should marry. You don't need to see vision of who you should marry. Joseph saw no vision. Do you get my point? If I didn't even know it was time to marry, you know what happened? The man who employed him, Pharaoh, said, "You get a wife, so?" He said, "Oh God, I'll be prisoner now." He said, "Ah, there was one fine girl that came near the palace the other day." "Okay, Potiphar, was that not your daughter?" I said, "Yes, bring her." And that was how Joseph got wife. A different ways of getting wife. Different ways. Martin Luther. Martin Luther got wife because there was nothing else to do with the girl. Martin Luther, you know the great Martin Luther, the reformer. He got a wife because there was nothing else to do with this girl. Was such a difficult person. And government were going to do some things. You know, there are people that he had liberated and all of that. So people can say, "Oh God, why don't you just marry her?" And she was one of the greatest things that God did for him in life. She ordered his ministry. Put order into everything. She was a no-nonsense girl. Listen, you know, say, was it the will of God? Listen, you see, I've told you, that's not what decides what the will of God is. It's the man, how he was walking with God before then, that decides whether he will marry God's perfect order or he won't. Go and read the scripture beginning to the end. There was nowhere that God promised, "I will show you your wife before you marry her." Nowhere. So the fact that some people, God showed it to them, doesn't mean anything. You have prayed enough. God heard you 3 years ago. All this one of picture, the first day you will get the accurate picture is when you see him. Adam said, this is correct. That also happened to Adam. God said, name everything. He named cat, named dog, named horse, named everything. They just didn't gel. Like my friend and I would say, they didn't have the snap. It just didn't connect. You know now, okay, maybe not you. There was a lady you saw, the first day you saw her, Kabbalah, Koto Begile. By the time you talk the third time, you knew you were not facing the same direction. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, you knew you were. Look, that spark you felt, look, can come from many reasons. She may have a hairstyle you saw only once in one movie 6 years ago, and it's in your subconscious, and you don't know. When you see her, the hairstyle will just come, bah! The excitement you saw in the movie 6 years ago will come back, and you think it's the voice of the Lord. The next time when you come, when she abuses you, pour hot water on your body. See, your voice of Satan. Shake your shirt and you go, begin go house. I mean, when Adam finally saw Eve, after he had tried every other thing, Eve gelled. Do you get what I'm saying? She fitted. Believe me, most people, that is how you will marry. Suddenly, the guy will fit. Do you know there are people that the guy didn't fit the first day? Second, in fact, it was the day he said, "Will you please kindly marry me?" Whatever way he said it. They had known him for 6 years. So 6 years. It didn't cross their mind. Then the day he asked, they suddenly fitted. His height is correct. The way he talks, even his bad language is just appropriate. It's very individual. Each person knows how God is him or her. Do you get the point I'm making? Uh-huh. So please, I don't know. I just can't leave this deal. I need to drum it into our hearts. We don't need the sorcery. God leads people by different methods. Somebody explained something once. He mentioned two great men of God. One of them, I won't mention you the name because I didn't hear the story directly. And you see, when you put things on record like this, people will start quoting it, not knowing that you were not so sure when you were saying it. But the principle behind it is very correct, all right? One I will mention is Kenneth Hagin. At least that one, I heard his own story directly from his mouth, directly from his books and from his tapes. Somebody was quoting the two of them, Kenneth Hagin and this other man of God, that both of them did their ministry in Tulsa. Tulsa, Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma, U.S. You know how Kenny Hagin arrived in Tulsa? God spoke to him to go to Tulsa. Are you getting the point? The other man of God, you know how he arrived in Tulsa? There was no other place where there was no persecution apart from Tulsa. That was the first place he found rest. Do you follow my point? And I can give you scriptures to know it is correct. Jesus said, when you are persecuted in this city, what did he say? Flee to the next. What happened to Isaac? They contend over this well, he will abandon it. Contend over the next one, he will abandon it. Then they will get to another, the one last well, in which there is no contention. He said, now God has given us rest. You are getting what I'm saying. Many people discover God's will because that was the first place they found rest. How did Eliezer discover Rebecca for Isaac? It was a girl that gave him rest according to his prayer. No, are you getting what I'm trying to say? So this man of God, this second man of God, whose name I didn't mention because I didn't hear the story directly from him or from his materials, it was persecution that led him down to Tulsa. And from there, he built a worldwide, successful, in quote, ministry. Just like Kenny Hagin did. You are getting the point I'm making. One man went there by vision. Derek Prince, let me give you as another example. How did Derek Prince get to America and become an American citizen before he finally left and went over to Israel and finally died in Israel as a very old man, fulfilled, having, you know, served the Lord all his days? A friend, a pastor in the U.S., was going on leave. And he said, can you pastor my church while I am gone? And Derek Prince, a Briton by birth, went to America hoping to stay for 6 months. How many months? 6 months. And do you know he never went back to UK apart from to visit? You don't get the point. It's like you tell me now, pastor, please, I'll be going to Lagos. Please pray with me. And now, before we pray, I say, why are you going to Lagos? One of my friends, he said, my house, and I paid 2 years rent. My house, I'm keeping it because I'll be back after like 3 months. A friend of mine is traveling abroad and he wants him to help me manage his business for a short while. And we have worked out an arrangement. Do you get what I'm saying? And that's it. 3 months, he said, my house is still there. After 6 months, you are not back. After 1 year, your house, your rent is still counting. Even you have refused to let go of the house because you thought you are coming back. After 1 year, I say, what is happening? He said, sir, you know, while that my friend was gone, the doors opened for me in a particular place. He now said he wasn't coming back. And he wanted to know whether I would be interested in taking over the business fully. So we worked out an arrangement. Now the business is 60% mine and 40% his. And it's been expanding. By the time I came, we were doing sales of 1 million naira a month. Right last month, we did 65 million naira. And God is opening doors for us. From here, we are moving to Ibadan. Well, from there, we plan to open an outlet in Abuja. And there's a particular license we are bidding for. Maybe we'll ferry. I said, but you told me you were going for 3 months. He said, oh, guys, not my fault. Oh. Now open door. That's what they call open door. Say open door. Yes. Yeah. That, no, really. And it will happen to some people listening to me. Yes, it will happen. Listen, you cannot plot your life accurately. Tomorrow I'll be here. The following day I'll be here. You can't. You should try. But here at ahead of time, it will turn out differently. Here, this, you cannot put specific dates no matter how spiritual you are. No matter how spiritual you are, you cannot put specific dates and times and geographical locations, specific ones, to what God wants to do in your life. You can have dreams, you can have visions. You know what they call dreams? You know dreams, don't they clear? You know they know the color of shirt where you wear for dream. Try. Your last dream, what was the color of shirt you wore? Dreams don't they clear too much. You get my point? You don't hear the sound of car engine in dream. You know, if dream now just see photo, then you know what people are saying. You don't even hear what they are saying. You just know it. Exactly, thank you. Dream is in black and white. And the tune is normally not very correct. And that's how people describe vivid dreams. Their dreams are clearer than the other. Some are on, you know, higher thermal television. Some are on Sony. Some in pure LCD, 42 inch. You get some dreams. You know those yellow boxes that show black and white TV of like, that's how some dreams are. That's how dreams are. It can never be very, very clear. So Isaac and Joseph can dream that one day, you get my point, that he's going to be a ruler. He didn't even know what he was going to be. He just dreamed that there were stars. And his own was shining, brighter. Every other star was bowing down. He dreamed that they were gathering sheaves. Those are, he just dreamt. Do you know it did not cross his mind that he was going to go to Egypt? And Egypt was the place of the fulfillment of his dreams. Do you get my point? Here I am teaching the word of God in Enugu. And I have done that now for years. I came to Enugu in the year 2000. Abi? Yes, 2000. For your information. Until I set out to come to Enugu, it had never crossed my mind that I was... Do you know, there are things that just don't cross your mind. It never crossed my mind. Until a friend said, Banky, why don't you go to Enugu? Before then, I was thinking of going to Ife. And I was thinking second thoughts about it for certain reasons. The man who offered me the job, the head of the department, I felt he needed, the way he offered me the appointment, I felt he needed an ally. You get my point. You go to a department, there's so much polarity. I'm bringing you in to come and be on my team. I'm not too like that kind of thing. Secondly, I felt he needed a boy. I don't mind being boy. I really don't mind. He's a big man. I'm a small boy. Except that I knew that once I start ministry, he will say I'm not serious. I was persuaded. In fact, when he was talking, he said that he knows I'm a Christian, that sometimes Christians disappoint me, that Tunde Joda, how many of you Tunde Joda? Christ Chapel International Churches in Lagos. He said Tunde Joda was his classmate. And he said it with disappointment in his tone. As if you couldn't understand how Tunde Joda will abandon the practice of medicine. In case you don't, Tunde Joda is a medical doctor. To go and pastor. And he's offering Pastor Banky a job. No, you say consider him. As you did so, consider the issue. A man is offering me a job in his department. And I was like, he'd be the ogakwata for that. And I was going to come in as a lecturer consultant. And you're already talking to me like this. That yeah, I know you are very serious with your Christianity. That he too, when he was in school, he was the driver of their Christian Union bus. He too was a Christian. Tunde Joda was his classmate. Hey, that was how I found out. Ah, Oga, so that man are your classmate? Yes. That's just that, you know, he doesn't understand. He was saying it with disappointment and with regret. That Tunde Joda disappointed him in going into ministry. And you're offering Pastor Banky a job. Oh boy, I don't need to pray. In fact, God needs to send an angel. Don't be afraid to take that. That's the kind of visitation I needed. When I considered it, I said, no, this is a trip. No go good for ministry. No go good. I was one of my friends. Why don't you come to Enugu? I said, And if you know my kind of personality, I love towns and cities like this. Lagos is one place that I don't know why people live there. No, there are cities like that. All those cities. I don't know why people live there. They talk about Port Harcourt. If you want, the kind of place I like to live, this kind of Enugu, Owerri, Umuahia, you know, Ibadan. I love Akure also, you know, Kaduna, you know, those kind of places where it's not a small town, it's a big town, there's everything there, but at least you can drive to work in 5 minutes. Goes to go hold you for one spot, you go quench your engine, go inside market, come back, they never still come out. That kind of thing, and I just don't like it. I just don't like it. Every gate you want to enter, every street you want to enter, there are 15 gates. They open the first one, then you enter, they lock it behind you. Before they open the next one, Abba. Even when you are going to the American Air Force Base, you know, I'm not sure say bad. You know, when I first came to Enugu, I came from Lagos. I said, my God, it's a good place. So I will go to houses. I will knock on the door. There's no peeping hole to see which crook is there. You know, those kind of nothing. And a 10-year-old girl, not even boy, will open the door. Hello? Who are you looking for? You know, I want to caution the people that, why don't you just close the door and ask me from behind the door? No, like, why do you open the door to ask who is there? Why don't you just know through the body, you know, like, what's wrong with you people? You know, the artist moving around. Lagos man, you don't blame me. I used to wonder. And the houses I go to, said the person, said, open the gate, you can't go in. I should go in. And go in now. I should go in. Okay, in an get dog, you know, you start asking questions. I came from Lagos. You know that kind of place in Lagos, I never liked it. The moment I got to Enugu, in fact, it gelled. You know, it just fitted my spirit. This is bone of my bones, town of my towns. This is city of my city. Do you get what I mean? It just fitted. So God leads people different ways. Please, I need to get this. I wanted to talk specifically to you on how God leads, but I hope you are learning something. You know, God leads by different ways. I was talking about you taking, saying you are going to Lagos for 3 months, and it turns to be 30 years. And next we hear from you, you're not in Lagos anymore. You're in Accra, Ghana. From Accra, Ghana, you've reached maybe somewhere in England. From there, next time you call, you say, where are you? Are you calling from? I'm calling you from Adelaide. Anyway, somewhere in Australia. I say, what's happening? He said, Pastor, it's God that's blessing us. And it's increased your experience from saying you're going to Lagos for 3 months. I know the true story of a young man who's today multi-millionaire in this country. He left Lagos to go and do one assignment in Port Harcourt. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, I was explaining something. You can't define your tomorrow accurately. You can know generally that God is taking you somewhere. Like I do know. You know, yesterday I was in church office with the pastor and we're talking. And my phone rang and it was chairman on the phone. He said, Bank, what did you hear for there? I said, God, what do you mean? He said, listen now. And I heard myself talking in the background. His satellite TV was on and Pastor Banky was preaching. So he called me to let me know that here they are sitting down watching me. If you had told me that exactly a year ago, it would have been a bit out of my, horizon for now. Our generator blew up last time. Instead of replacing it with the same one, I quickly went and bought a bigger one because we have to install powerful lights in here. Because within the next few weeks, we must start recording video. Because in a short while, every household in Nigeria and beyond that wants to watch Pastor Banky, we have the opportunity of doing that 3 times a week. Amen. Now, you are getting what I'm saying. I told you that Larry King became Larry King because somebody built CNN. He was a radio talk show host until Ted Turner built CNN and said, I want a talk show like none other. And I remembered one guy who interviewed him some time ago. So he went and looked for Larry King and said, come and do this talk show for us. And Larry King, who was so good, that's why I said, look, listen, sharpen your skills where you know how to do things. God knows where to find you when the time comes. When the Bible says you will live in houses you did not build, Larry King became Larry King because Ted Turner built CNN. Listen, as at 1993, for talking on CNN, his pay was $2 million a year. As at 1993. Listen, I tell you, you can't plot your tomorrow accurately. It's not possible. Somebody is building something that God will use to give you international recognition, and you don't know it yet. What do you do? Just sharpen. Sharpen your skill somewhere, and do that one. Do it well. Larry King had gone bankrupt once or twice. He was a compulsive gambler. Look, his life don't wreck up and down. I'm telling you, his life has been upside down until one day. He was just managing to settle and just talking on radio. And somebody said, come, we have a new, listen to you, Mio, for your information, CNN is the first ever in the world. It was a new idea, 24-hour news network. There was none before CNN. Ted Turner said it could be done. People said, who wants to watch news 24 hours? Anyway, it was done. And it has made all kinds of people. For information, you know what even made CNN, CNN? Iraq invaded Kuwait. That was what made CNN. And US was going to invade Kuwait to move Iraq out. Every news network ran away. And Peter Annett and co, they stayed behind in Kuwait and watched from front line. They stayed behind Iraq, I think, and watched from the front line or Saudi Arabia, those areas. They watched Operation Desert Storm live. They were the only news network left to cover Desert Storm. Instantly, CNN became the number one news network in the world. Because you wanted news on what was going on in Iraq and Kuwait, you watch CNN. And that's it. Let me tell you something. This I have come to know. I have known this for a long time. I'm beginning to experience. You can't build everything. If God wants you to broadcast his word from a 200-story building, he does not need you to build a 200-story building. He can get even a wicked man to build it. And the man will rent to you the 200th floor. Listen, God has honored me a bit and I give him all the glory. Today I went for Joy's wedding. Pastor Banky. I heard Pastor, just as I was walking, I was Pastor Banky. Listen, I was the first preacher on Cosmo FM. Pastor Banky was just, I've been writing books and for a long time. Somebody else built Cosmo FM and said no preachers here. It was not the builder that said it, but whoever was running said he didn't want preachers. One way or the other, something happened. I don't know how it happened. One day, I found that I was on Cosmo. When the MD there came back, he was embarrassed. Let me give you authentic information. He was embarrassed that there was a pastor on Cosmo FM. You know why? Because the man who built Cosmo FM, his sister's reverend in church wanted to use Cosmo FM and the MD said no. Don't know anybody. The way I arrived at Cosmo FM was I first went there. The use price drive me. Now I run go Coast City FM. And they say, welcome, sir. I booked dates, booked time, booked everything. I said, okay, on Monday I'll come and pay the first installment for the first 13 weeks. As I was about to go, I mentioned to one of the doctors in my office, I said, I am going to Cosmo, to Coast City. I want to go and pay for airtime. And he said, sir, why don't you go to Cosmo? I said, I have been to Cosmo and they have driven me. And he said, why don't you try again? Then I heard that it appears like they are favorably disposed, that the guy who was acting as MD or something said that, these preachers spend a lot of money. They are the ones that they pay a lot, you know, that kind of thing. Actually, in Lagos, preachers pay over 2 billion naira a year for airtime. I'm serious. That was then, not now. Talking about years ago. More than $2 billion naira. A year. In fact, there was a time Pastor Paul met him at the airport. And they were talking. And they said that, no, they need to form an association of Christian broadcasters. That they need to drive the price down. That they have enough power to do it. They spend so much money on air. So that was all the acting guy said. I beg, find this guy. So that was why I showed up. They had agreed to give a concession of from 250,000 to 150,000. All they were asking for 250 before. They're going to accept 150. That was how I landed in Cosmo. Since then, there is nowhere I have gone. And they have announced my name publicly. People have now come to say, you are the one. Oh, where's my wife? This is what happened last night. You know, Joy went there yesterday night, and a number of her friends stayed in our house. She from our house went to church. So she had, the two ladies were talking in the room where they were staying, and they said that. So one of them just said, Pastor Bank, he said, what did you say? Like maybe I said that, and I'll give an instruction, okay, do this if you needed to do this, something like that. And I said, okay, this is what Pastor Bank said we should do if we need this. And he said, what did you say? He said, I said, Pastor Bank. He said, what? He said, this is Pastor Banky's house. He said, yes. This is Pastor Banky's house. Yes. I'm in Pastor Banky's house. My wife came to give me the keys. I had a very good laugh. That the young girl said, please, I don't have credit. Please, who has credit? I need to call somebody to tell them where I am right now. carried my son. I said, at least I can tell everybody, I carried Pastor Banky's son. How? Cosmo FM. Did I be Cosmo FM?
No.
Did God say, oh, Banky, thou shalt go on Cosmo FM and go and preach?
No.
I was going to Co City FM to go and preach. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will do what? He will direct. Christians have thought that direct means that he will whisper, go left, go right. No. When you have to go right and you want to go left, he will block left. You won't see road there. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. See, I have not read one scripture that I wanted to read today. I have not even entered into what I wanted to say, but I hope you've learned something. Let's just give the Lord thanks quickly. We have stayed longer. That's because I'm a bit late, but let's quickly rush and close.